The teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, which we're dealing with on a Sunday morning, it's been described as the most profound teaching in the history of mankind. You know something, folks? You can't better this teaching. I'll tell you why you can't better it. Because it was the manifesto, if you like, that Jesus brought to the earth. This was his desire to bring this to the hearts of men and women. This manifesto, if you like, you know, like the Tories and the Labour and all the other parties, they've got their manifesto, what they're going to do and how they're going to implement things. This was God's manifesto, and it was coming right to the hearts of God's people. And each week, I don't know about you, but I've been challenged by the ministry that we've received. And I've gone away thinking, boy, you know, what a challenge. But like Luke's put in the newsletter this week or this month, the front of the newsletter, it's no good just being challenged unless we go away and we apply the word to our hearts. Because the word that we're receiving, friends, needs to be applied. And it's good to come and hear great ministry that's challenging us. But the real issue is, how are we applying it to our lives? Are we putting it into practice? So this morning, my subject is charitable deeds pleasing to God. Or if you like, deeds of righteousness. When the Bible talks about charitable deeds, there's two Greek words that are used. The one Greek word is the word dia, I can't even pronounce it. Eleemosyn. Paul, we should have you over here. Eleemosyneu, which really means the giving of alms. We understand that, don't we? It means charitable deeds, doing something for others. The other word which is used, which is more of the correct word, because this goes back into the Greek in Jesus' time, is the word diak. Oh, dear me. I'm not even going to pronounce it. But what it means righteous acts. So, yes, please, Bob. It means righteous acts. It's not just talking about doing charitable deeds, as we would think charitable deeds. It's talking about doing righteous acts. And, of course, doing righteous acts involves charitable deeds, doesn't it? And so that's the area that we're looking at this morning. And if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, keeping that in mind, what we're talking about when we're mentioning charitable deeds, Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, we read these words. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed or a righteous act, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed, your righteous act, may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. A charitable deed, a righteous act, is doing something for the benefit of others that is usually at some cost to yourself. It could involve, it's got many forms. It could be giving to somebody who's needy or poor. It could be just being generous in your acts of kindness to other people. It comes in many forms. It could be just helping the needy. In other words, a charitable deed includes all aspects of acts of righteousness that you can do. One such charitable deed took place, and I'm sure it wasn't the only one, but this charitable deed that took place last week in the London Marathon, by nighttime it had gone viral, and it's gone right throughout the world. I'm sure there were many other charitable deeds that were done last week. In the all the people were running, they were doing it for a charitable cause. So was there 50,000 runners? I don't know. But they were all doing it for a charitable cause. But this one caught the public attention. It's a horrible thing when your tank's empty and you hit the wall. It's happened to me once, I think, but it's a horrible thing. But it's interesting what James Cracknell said there, the Olympian, the rower. He'd ran the race, and he said he'd passed people who were struggling, and he'd pat them on the bum and kept on running. He said, I feel a little bit guilty now when he was watching what that Swansea Harrier did in stopping to help that guy. Jesus told a story about a man who fell among hard times. And the Bible says he fell amongst thieves. And two people stopped to try and do something. Just leave them off, Tim, for the time being. We've got one more to go. Thank you. Yeah. One was a priest, and one was another temple official. And it was on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, and this man had fallen amongst thieves. And Jesus tells the story. We know the story. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And one guy went across to look at this man who had fallen amongst thieves. And he must have thought about doing something, but he didn't. He just passed by. He went on. The other one didn't even walk across the road. He saw him, and from a distance, he made the decision, I'm not going to help him. But there was a man, and the Bible says he was a Samaritan, and the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, and he came where he was, and he ministered to him. The Bible says he had compassion upon him. And he bandaged up his wounds and he took care of him. And this story that Jesus told about the Good Samaritan, it was in response to a man who would come to Jesus and asked him the question, what must I do to gain eternal life? And Jesus said, you've heard what the commandments are. And, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And this man had said, who is my neighbor? And in response to that question, Jesus told this story. Whether it was a parable, the Bible doesn't say. It may have actually happened, because that road from Jerusalem to Jericho was notorious for these type of things to happen. It may have actually happened. So it may not have been a parable. And Jesus said, who was the neighbor? Who was the neighbor to the man who fell amongst thieves? And he said, the one who showed mercy. To which Jesus replied, you go and do exactly the same. The question we're addressing this morning, friends, is not just would we have stopped? Would we have helped that runner? Would we have helped that homeless child? But why would we have stopped? And would we have given thought to the deed that we'd done? This morning we're looking at the motive of why we do things. The motive of why we do what we do. Let me ask you a question. If you were able, I don't think many of us are, would we give millions to feed the poor? If we were able, would we go into the hospital and heal all those who were sick in the hospital for no charge? If we were able, would we provide shelter and security to the homeless. If we were able, would we sacrifice ourselves so that others could live? Depending on how we would answer these questions, another one is, would you want anybody to know what you'd done if you were able? Would it matter to you that anybody knew or nobody knew? See, what we're dealing with this morning is motive. It's the issues of our heart. What we do, friends, matters greatly to God. I hope you understand that. God looks constantly at our lives, and what we do matters greatly to Him. And God expects man to be good. He expects us to be kind. He wants us to get involved in need. He wants us to get involved ourselves, to get involved and with our finances, our substance. He wants us to get involved in need. When we do that, we are doing what Jesus did. It's an interesting verse in the Bible that says, Jesus of Nazareth was a man who was approved by God, and he went around doing good. Notice that? He went around doing righteous acts. He went around doing good. So here in his teaching, he's not saying to, like the Pharisees used to say, you do what I say, but don't do what I do. Jesus himself set this example. So he's setting an example for us all to follow when he's doing this teaching here on the Sermon on the Mount. Understand, friends, that we are not saved, we are not going to go to heaven because of what we do, because of our works. The Bible makes that absolutely clear. We are not saved through works, what we do. It's interesting, isn't it, that homeless man, I don't know where he stood before God. I don't know where that Swansea Harrier stands before God. But even the good acts that they did in the two videos that we've seen, that won't get them to heaven. We are not saved through works. If man could be saved through works, there would have been no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. Many people get the mistaken idea, the good that I do will get me to heaven. I'm a good person. And maybe the good will outweigh the bad. That's not what the Bible teaches. It says our righteousness, our good deeds in the sight of God, they're like filthy rags. And so good works alone won't save us. But once we come to know Jesus Christ, works, deeds of righteousness, they're followers. The Bible says their works do follow them. That's why when we stand before God, we are not going to be judged for our sin if we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. Thank God when we are Christians, when we are born again and Christ comes to live in our hearts, He forgives us our sin. Amen? Past, present and future. So we're not going to be judged for our sins, but we are going to be judged for our works. The things that we do in this body. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10 says, for we must, it's a must, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done whilst in the body, whether good or bad. So our works will follow us. God sees everything that we do. There's not anything that mistake gets out of the grasp of God. He sees everything that we do. God sees our works. And those are the things that we're going to get judged for when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And the Word of God likens those things, the things that are done out of good motives and a right heart attitude, the Word of God likens those to gold, silver, and precious stones. The works that we do that are done not out of a right heart or a right motive. The Bible likens those to wood, hair, and stubble. And the Bible says the fire will try, the judgment will try every man's work of what kind it is. And if a man's work remains, he'll receive a reward. So the gold, the silver, the precious stones, that which we've done out of a right heart and a right motive before God, that will receive a reward. The wood, the hay, and the stubble, things that have been done, right things that have been done, but with wrong motives, the Bible says that will be burned up. The wood, the hay, and the stubble, because the fire, the judgment, will try every man's work of what kind it is. If our work remains, there will be a reward. If it's burned up, we will suffer loss, but we ourselves will be saved. It's not a matter of whether we're going to be saved or not, but we will suffer loss on that day. The giving or the doing of charitable deeds, righteous acts, is what is required of us as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And to the question, who is my neighbor? Jesus made it very plain that all mankind is our neighbor. God is no respecter of persons, and neither should we be. The whole of mankind is our neighbor. Even if we have any enemies, and we shouldn't have as Christians, Jesus told us how to treat our enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Jesus said to the man, the one who was the neighbor to that man who fell amongst thieves, the man said, well, it was the one who showed mercy. The one who had compassion, who did something. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. There's something else that God expects. God expects us to have the right motive. Why a man does good and shows kindness matters greatly to God. We've got to have the right motive. You know, friends, many people like being recognized for what they have done. Many people like being recognized. I'm talking about many Christian people as well. They like being recognized for what they've done. You know, it's often the case when, and we're all susceptible to that. It's when we've done a good deed to someone, there is that within us all where we want it to be at least recognized. Is that right? Or at least acknowledged. And if it's not acknowledged, our response or the attitude of our hearts is, how ungrateful. I'm not doing anything for them anymore. You know, when this attitude prevails in our hearts and minds, we must ask the question, why are we doing it? And what are we doing it for? What is the motive behind our doing good? Jesus here in this part of teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is addressing the motives of the human heart for doing righteous acts. You see, friends, the whole purpose of our lives is to make us like Jesus. He wants to perfect that which concerns us. He wants us to make us like he is. And that's when we're born again, we have the nature of Christ put within us. It's referred to, I was just with Paul and Sharma on Friday, we were talking about the fruit of the Spirit. The very nature, the characteristics of Christ. But that fruit has got to grow. And the closer we get to God, the more we become like him. The Bible says we are to be as he is in this present evil world. And so God's purpose in my life and yours is to make us more like Jesus. And if we're going to be like Jesus, then we've got to have the same heart attitude that he had. And we've already touched on this. Luke touched on it a few weeks ago. Matthew 5, verse 45. He makes his sun rise, the sun rise, on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Notice, God has got no partiality whatsoever. He treats all men equal. Luke 6, verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. What it's really telling us here, when God's motives are absolutely pure, for God is love, and God is good. And his motives are absolutely... God has got no ulterior motive in doing anything for mankind but that he loves them. His love is towards all people everywhere. He does good even to those, he says here, who are ungrateful. You know, the worst blaspheming person in Billingham today, the one who would curse and swear that there is no God, and if God is, and blaspheme and curse, friends, it doesn't alter how God feels about them. He loves them. He loves them. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he died for that person. And his love will never alter. And the Bible says we are to be like him. We are to have the nature of Christ, the mind of Christ. So let's take a look at this teaching of Jesus. Verse 1. Take heed that you do not do your charitable or righteous deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Two important lessons that we can learn here. Notice what it says, take heed. Be on your guard. Be alert. Because my Bible tells me that my heart is deceitful above everything and desperately wicked. And I've got to guard my heart at all times. And you've got to guard yours. For out of our heart are the issues of life. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And so here, Jesus starts off with, take heed. We must be alert at all times against the deception of giving and doing good before men. The Bible says here that if our hearts are not right and we do the right things with the wrong motives, then we will not receive a reward from our Father in heaven. Doing charitable deeds, righteous acts. Friends, can I say, Jesus expects us to be doing charitable deeds, righteous acts. It's expected of a Christian. Here in this portion of Scripture, Jesus mentions three main pillars. He talks about charitable deeds, he talks about prayer, and he talks about fasting. And in each instance, it's expected when you pray, not if you pray. When you fast, not if you fast. When you do charitable deeds, not if you do charitable deeds. So what I'm talking about here, four times Jesus mentions here the importance of doing charitable deeds. And if you're a Christian, you're not saved by charitable deeds, but your works will follow you. You will do charitable deeds if you are a Christian. So, It's expected of a believer. But we need to always guard our motive as to why we do what we do. Notice what Jesus says here in verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, a righteous act, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Once again, Jesus emphasizes it's our duty to do good. 1 John 3, verses 17 to 18. Whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. James said a similar thing in his letter, chapter 2, verses 14 to 18. What does it profit, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Someone will say, show me your faith. He says, I will show you my faith by the works that I do. So faith and works go hand in hand. God doesn't just want us to have faith. Works makes faith come alive. Faith alone, by itself, is dead. So what Jesus is emphasizing here, how important it is that every one of us do good. It's expected of us as believers. It's the very nature of God. For God is good. God is love. And the Bible says, to those who know how to do good and they don't do it, then it becomes sin to them. So if you know that you should be doing something and you're not doing it, the Bible says it becomes sin. That's why in Galatians 6 verse 10 it says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. Notice those who are Christians and those who are not. Let us do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. In other words, we should be doing good to one another. Where there's need, we should be meeting it in the body of Christ. We should be responding to that need as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 2, when we do a charitable deed or a righteous act, do not sound a trumpet in the synagogues and in the streets. Here again, we've got two wrong motives for doing good. Jesus called them hypocrites. The word hypocrites, it comes from the Greek word actor. That's what the Greek word means. It means an actor. Somebody who performs in front of others and yet is just playing a part. And that's where the word hypocrites come from. Somebody who is just playing a part. Who is not the real deal. That whoever you see on the telly, they're just acting. Or play acting, if you like. That's what a hypocrite is. And Jesus had, especially for the scribes and the Pharisees, he went to town with them, didn't he? He called them actors, play actors. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. He had no time for them, really, because of the hypocrisy that was in them. That's why he said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you're not going to get into heaven. Because they were play acting. They were putting a pretense on before men. So Jesus was basically saying, don't sound a trumpet before you. When you're doing something, you know the old saying, don't blow your own? That's where it comes from. Don't blow your own trumpet. In other words, don't be full of it yourself, saying, look what I'm doing. That's what the scribes and the Pharisees were doing. Look what I'm doing. Jesus said, don't blow your own trumpet. In other words, don't praise yourself. Proverbs 27 verse 2, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I want to tell you, friends, we can all see the Pharisee in me. Can you? As we look into the depths of our heart, let me tell you, the Pharisee's in every one of us. We all want that recognition. That's why the Word of God says, don't boast. Don't boast. If anybody had anything to boast about, it was Paul, the apostle. He could say, he could give a list of things that he'd accomplished in his life. Tremendous pedigree. He said, yet, if I'm going to boast in anything, I will boast in the cross of Christ. I'll boast in what God has done in my life through the cross. Don't allow our hearts to be filled with pride, because pride comes before a fall. And pride, friends, can hinder us ineffective for God. In other words, Jesus is saying here, when you do something, don't draw attention to yourself. You know, children, they draw attention to themselves, don't they? Look what I've done. Look what I've done. Come and see what I've done. They want you to see what they've done. There's the child in every one of us, friends. We all sometimes want to draw attention to ourselves. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And so as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some things that we've got to put away. And boasting is one of them. Being proud. Look at us. That's what the Pharisees did. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this man. I thank you that I fast and I give my tithes and I do this and I do that. I thank you that I'm not like him. He was drawing attention to himself. Let's not draw attention to ourselves, friends. Let's draw attention to him. Notice here, Jesus covers all the bases. Don't sound a trumpet before you. Where? In the synagogues and in the streets. Don't sound a trumpet before you amongst religious people. And don't sound a trumpet before you in the streets. In other words, in the public arena. He's covered all the bases. And the second wrong motive is that you will receive glory from men. That's why we all want a pat on the back. Hear what he's saying, you'll receive recognition for what you've done. Prestige, honor, applause, admiration for the good deed that you've done. Self-satisfaction, being a fulfillment of the duty that you've done. Jesus said, if you do it with the wrong motive for that, if all you're doing it for is to get a pat on the back from others, you have received your reward. The Christian who does a charitable or a righteous act for recognition before men, according to Jesus, has already received their reward. This is an accounting statement, meaning payment has been paid in full. God has no reason to reward them any further. That's why on the judgment day, if it's done in the sight of men, it's classed as wood, hay, and stubble. If it's been done for the attention of others and the applause of others, you've already received your reward when they've patted you on the back and said, wonderful. Please understand, brothers and sisters, Jesus is talking here about motives. The reason why we do what we do. Is it to gain the admiration and the attention of others? If it is, then the reward has already been received. You know, sometimes it can't be helped. Sometimes you do a kind or a righteous deed or an act, and it can't help but be recognized. Please understand, there are some things that you do that people will say thank you. People will be filled with gratitude because God's not saying that's wrong. He's not against that. In fact, he does say, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. So he's not saying you can't, some good works are manifest. Can't help but see them. It's Jesus here is dealing with the motive of why we do what we do. Remember Zacchaeus? When he got converted, he said, if I've stolen anything, Lord, I'll give it back. How many fold? Just forget. Fourfold was it. I'll give it back. If I've robbed any man falsely, I'll repay them four times as much as I've robbed them for. Half my goods, Lord, I'm going to give to the poor. Was Zacchaeus saying that out of a boastful, proud heart? No, friends. He was saying it out of a repentant heart. He was saying it out of a heart that had come to God and been cleansed. There's some things that you can't hide. Some things, friends, Zacchaeus wasn't saying it to impress Jesus. He was saying it because his heart had been put right. The motive has got to be right. You know, that illustration, that video that we showed about the runner who helped that other guy, we don't know his heart. But I don't think for a moment that his motive was 200 meters from the finishing line. If I stop now and help this guy, the cameras of or the media of the whole world will be looking at me. I don't think that was his motive. I don't think it was the motive of the homeless man to gain recognition when he helped that kid on the street. You see, understand what God is saying here. It's all about motive. Verse 3 and 4, but when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, don't do it to get the praise of others, and don't do it to get self-praise. Because sometimes we can be pleased by what we've done. We can be saying, look at me, what I've done there. Aren't I good? I've done this for them. I've helped them. In other words, if you don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, you do it unconsciously. This hand doesn't know what this hand's doing. It's totally unconscious of what it's about. Does that mean that you've got to do everything in secret? No, it doesn't. But it does mean that what Jesus is talking about, this has got to become your lifestyle. You know, when I first start to give to the Lord, financially I'm talking about, every week my giving went in to the offering. I used to think about it. I used to think about how much I was putting in, thinking, can I afford it? Can I give God my my due, and can I afford it? And I used to think about it as a new Christian. But you know, friends, my giving now has become something that is so natural, it's just like breathing. I don't even think about it now. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Do things unconsciously. Do it until it becomes part of your lifestyle. Until you don't think about it anymore. Until it's as natural to you as breathing. Until it becomes second nature to you to do what you're doing. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. You know, friends, when it comes to giving, I wonder how many people would give more if they thought that other people were watching what they were putting in. That's why we never give that opportunity here at New Life. You give from your heart, and nobody knows what you're giving. But how many people would give more if they really knew? Other people knew what they were giving. I know people who won't get involved in the gift aid scheme. The reason they won't get involved in the gift aid scheme is because you've got to put down what you give. Is that a bad thing? No. It's just good stewardship. Because the gift aid scheme gives us 15 pence from the tax man at no extra cost to everybody who pays tax. And so you've got to declare that, righteously declare it, how much you are giving, so the tax man will give money back. There are Christians who won't get involved in that. And sometimes they use this verse as a cop-out. Other people will know what I'm giving. Well, there's only the administration staff know what we're given in the offices and God. But they use it as a cop-out. When it's not good stewardship. Good stewardship would say that you do these things as unto the Lord. It's just the same, friends, if what I'm trying to say, we're dealing with motives of the heart. Why we do certain things. If we can be done secretly, privately, so be it. Sometimes it may not be able to be done that way. It's all about motives. Why do we use Facebook? I'm on Facebook quite a lot. Why do I go on Facebook? Is it for people to see me? Or is my motive that when I put on there different things, I want to draw people because there's an audience out there of 1,000 or so people who you've got the opportunity of ministering into their lives, something of God, even sometimes in a different way, by just being friends with them. But why do we do it? Like Luke said a few weeks ago, is it to get a like? You know, people liking what we say? Is that our motive? Or is it for the glory of God? The Bible says we've got to honor God in what we do. Your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. God sees in secret. Nothing escapes the attention of God. The Bible says he knows the hidden thoughts, the motives of our heart. He will reward right motives. There will be those in that day who say, Lord, Lord, we've done this in your name, we've done that in your name. To which he'll reply, I never knew you. Depart from me. Doing the right things with the wrong motives. When did we see you in prison? When did we see you sick and visit you? Or in need and came and ministered unto you? For as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Doing things with the right motive. The Bible says, whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord. Not as eye service, like men pleasers. You know, friends, we can be men pleasers or God pleasers. And some of us here today, we can still be pleasing men at the expense of pleasing God. Some things we do because we know that our spouse wants us to do them. And they'll be happier if we do them. Or because it's the family want us to do this, and God wants us to do one thing, but the spouse might be shouting out to do another thing. And before long, we find ourselves pleasing other people instead of pleasing God. God sees every single motive. He sees every single act. He's sovereign. C.T. Studd said, only one life, it'll soon be over. Only what's done for Christ will last. Jesus said, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you won't lose your reward. It's not hard to find charitable deeds, is it? And I think that's the challenge to every one of us as Christians here this morning, friends. The poor we always have with us. It's not hard. Opportunity knocks at our door every single day to minister righteous acts. We can either be like that Samaritan who went and ministered out of compassion, or we can be like those who turn the blind eye and walk away, pass by on the other side. May we have the mind of Christ. May we do good to all men, everywhere, especially those who are of the household of faith, because God sees it. Amen. God sees it. Let's pray together.